Hey guys, and welcome to the first ever MMA OB Daily Podcast with your host, Adam Martin. I'm right here. I just said last week that we're going to be making some changes to MMA Odds Breaker. One of the things we're doing is we're getting rid of the odds and ends, and we're going to be doing the news recaps in video form. So I'm here with you guys, probably Monday to Friday. I'm going to do like a 15-minute show, just pretty much breaking down the news, or in today's case, basically recapping the fights that took place on Saturday night in UFC Rochester. First, I just want to give some shout-outs to Nick Kalikas over at MMAoddsbreaker.com for making this happen. I personally, it was Nick's idea to do this podcast. I think it's a great idea. I'm really excited about it. Of course, the other websites are right for MMAnews.com, SureDog.com, MMArankings.net, and BJPenn.com. Check all those websites out. And of course, you guys can find me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. So let's just get right into it, guys. I mean, it was a really great event. I did the play-by-play for SureDog.com, so check that out. Personally, one of my favorite events of the year to cover. I think this was kind of one of those cards that people were like, I don't know if I want to watch this one. There's no big names on it. The fights aren't great, but it turned out to be one of the best cards of the year. 9 finishes, 6 upsets, just a fantastic card from top to bottom. So many fights, just things that happened that no one saw coming, really. Late finishes, early finishes, upsets galore. Even the fights that the favorites won, a lot of times they played out in fashions that no one saw coming. So excellent fights all around. Let's just get right into it, guys. The main event of the evening. We'll start from the top and work our way down to the bottom. Main event of the evening, Rafael Dos Anjos submits Kevin Lee in the fourth round with an arm triangle choke. This was a great fight. Both guys were really put to the test here, especially with the grappling. Back and forth fight, but at the end of the day, RDA won the fight. He just dug deep and found that second win late in the fourth round and found the finish over Kevin Lee. So for RDA, it snaps a 2-fight losing streak. He lost to Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman in his last 2 fights. And now he's 4-2 as a welterweight. So he's clearly one of the top welterweights in the world still. I kind of wrote him off a little bit. Obviously premature here. I thought at age 34, coming off those losses, especially the Usman loss where he really didn't do anything. He just kind of got pushed against the fence. I thought that we saw some declines of him slowing down as a fighter, but he's clearly got a lot left in the tank, so good for RDA. I mean, I've always liked him. He's a great fighter. You know, it's crazy, actually. His first UFC fight was in UFC 91 in 2008 when he got knocked over by Jeremy Stephens. I don't think anyone saw this guy having the kind of career he did. So it was pretty amazing to see him just become the fighter he was. He was a plus 130 underdog, so he was one of the 6 underdogs that cashed. Also, the prop on him winning in the fourth round was plus 1325. You can find my articles on those over at SureDog, the insane props, and Beating the Books. They'll be out today and tomorrow, respectively. Just crazy odds on that. I mean, I don't think too many people saw him winning in the fourth round anyways. But, you know, for me, Kevin Lee was very disappointing in this fight. I thought that moving up in weight would help with his cardio conditioning, but it didn't. You know, he looked arguably worse in this fight as far as conditioning goes. Got really tired as the fight went on. The grappling, obviously, you know, all that grappling just hurt him. I like Kevin Lee, but he's lost 3 of his last 4 fights, and I think the UFC is going to have to give him a rebound now. He's clearly not at the top welterweight yet. He's only 26, so he's got time to pick it up and turn things around. But, you know, back-to-back losses now to Iaquinta and RDA, and he was a favorite in both those fights. So he's got to turn things around. He's still a good fighter. He's still a young fighter, but, you know, clearly not a top welterweight contender, and I don't know what he's going to have to do, but clearly that conditioning needs a lot of work. Speaking of conditioning, the co-main event, Ian Heinisch once again showing off that amazing cardio and outlasting Antonio Carlos Jr. winning a decision. Now, this was, I wouldn't really say a close fight. I'm one of the few people that actually scored this a draw, and I don't know, I kind of regret it a little bit now because I did give a 10-8 to Jr. in the first round, but looking back, maybe he didn't do as much damage as he should have did for a 10-8 round, but he had like so many takedowns and control that I gave it to him at the time. It is what it is. You know, Heinisch, I have no problem with him winning the fight, obviously. 29-28, it's a good scorecard. He won the second and third round, just outlasted Junior, was able to pretty much evade any submission attempts in the first round, and then from there it was smooth sailing for Ian Heinisch. He's now on a 2-fight win streak in the UFC, back-to-back wins over Cesar Ferreira and Antonio Carlos Junior, so he's a borderline top 15 guy in middleweight division. The guy's really good, great story, and I'm very impressed with him, but you know, for Shoeface, this is very disappointing. He was on a 5-fight win streak before this. He was pretty much finishing everyone. And then he goes in there and fights Heinisch and loses. Heinisch was an underdog. He was plus 130. Excuse me, plus 140, actually. So even better. And I personally didn't see this one coming. I mean, I thought it could be a close fight go either way, but I did pick Junior. So overall, I should say my picks, I went 8-5. So, you know, not bad, not great. Obviously, would like to do a little bit more. Disappointing main card. Only went 3-3 in the main card. But, you know, there's a couple upsets I didn't really see coming. It is what it is. And this was one of them. Good for Heinisch, though. Definitely. He's like a top 15 guy. Like, if he fought Elias Theodoro, I'd probably pick him to win that fight. I think that'd be a good matchup for him. Next up, we got the women's featherweight division. Felicia Spencer against Megan Anderson. And Felicia Spencer had an amazing UFC debut, submitting Megan Anderson in the first round with a rear naked choke. Great performance by Felicia Spencer. Underdog as well. One of six. She was a plus 180 underdog, so one of the bigger ones in the card. And she looked amazing in this fight. Just took down Anderson and controlled her in the mat for the whole fight, really, until Anderson tapped out. Felicia Spencer's undefeated now, 7-0 in her career. She is a fantastic fighter, 28 years old from Montreal. So she's young, good looking. I think UFC can market the hell out of her. I think she's a great fighter, and she speaks really well on the mic, too. So I think there's a lot of potential here. And she called it Cyborg. She wants to fight Cyborg, and we don't have confirmation yet. There's rumors that she's going to fight Cyborg as that co-main event in the Edmonton card in July. I think that's a great fight, personally. I'd love to see that fight. And honestly, Cyborg will be the favorite, but I wouldn't count on Spencer. She looked great in this fight, and she's undefeated. So if anyone's going to win that kind of fight, it'd be someone like a young up-and-comer like Spencer. Even though she's 5'6", she's very strong, and she looked great in this fight. And for Megan Anderson, I mean, geez, she's only 1-2 now in the UFC. In both her fights, she was absolutely dominating the grappling department against Holly Holm and Spencer. And the lone win against Zingano, where she knocked her with that, it was like a toe kick that sliced open the eyes of Zingano. I'd like to see them run that fight back. I don't know. She clearly has potential. She's very tall and big for that division. She's a good athlete, but that ground game is just, wow. I mean, you think she would have worked on it after the Holly Holm fight. She's got to go back to the gym and just train her ground game. Her striking's good enough, I think, at this point. Her ground game means a lot of work. And by the way, I'm surprised Spencer didn't get a bonus. I'll talk about the bonuses later, but I'm shocked. Honestly, I can't believe that the UFC didn't reward her with $50,000. Great performance, dominant. She should have got the $50,000. Next up, we had Vicente Luque take out Derek Krantz in the first round with strikes. I mean, what else can you say about this? This was a massive mismatch. I think Luque closed at like minus 1,100, so he was a massive favorite. I did pick him to win by knockout in this fight. A lot of people are saying Krantz is a good chain. He has been knocked out in a while. I get that. But Luque is on another level. This guy finishes every fight he's in. 9-2 now in the UFC. 9 finishes. That's super impressive. And I wrote an article last week at MMA Ratings. I talked about how he deserves a top 10 opponent. He does. I mean, Neil Magny was a decent opponent, but he's not a top 10 guy. He's a top 15 guy. And everyone thought he was going to lose that fight. I'd like to see him get tested against someone that can actually push him, like Ponzinibbio. Even Stephen Thompson would be a good fight. Someone like that. Even RDA would be a good fight, to be quite frank. Luque is great, and he deserves a step-up competition. And for Krantz, got to give this guy credit. He took a hard fight on really short notice. Lost. But I liked the game plan. He came out guns a-blazing, went for that huge punch right off the bat. I think it was an overhand right. I think he put Luque down for like a second there. Didn't get the job done. But he made a big mistake with that guillotine choke. He went on his back for a guillotine. Don't ever do that. That's not smart, especially if you're not a submission expert against a guy like Luque, who's really good at submissions. That wasn't a smart idea, but hey, the guy did his best, and if I'm the UFC, I give him another fight. They could send him the contender series. I think you give him one more fight in the octagon and get someone he can actually beat. Next up, we had one of the best fights of the night, best performances, I should say. Charles Oliveira knocking on Nick Lentz in the second round. This was Oliveira's first knockout win in the UFC. That is so impressive to me. The guy's striking has gotten so good over the years. The prop on him winning by knockout was plus 900, by the way, so that's insane. No one saw that coming. I thought he was going to win by submission. I think most people did. The fact he won by knockout is very impressive. Nick Lentz is a very, very durable guy. So for Oliveira to knock him out with a straight right, caught a kick and knocked him out, bang, done. Great win for Charles Oliveira. I thought he looked amazing in this fight. The guy's on a 5-fight win streak right now, all the wins by finish. And like I talked about in the previous show with Cole Shelton, earlier in his career, a lot of people called him a quitter. And there were some fights like the Max Holloway fight, the Cub Swanson fight, where he kind of gave up in many regards. So I don't see that from him anymore. I think this guy's super motivated. He seems to have really hit his stride now. He's 29 years old. He's in his prime. He's one of the best lightweights in the world, and he deserves a top 10 opponent. There's no doubt about it. Not sure who they give him, but anyone in the top 10 makes sense. And by the way, I thought it was kind of funny how Paul Felder was interviewing him after the fight, and he's like, who do you want to fight next? And he didn't say he wants a rematch with Paul Felder after what Paul did to him a couple of years ago, smashed his face open. I think that'd be a good rematch, but maybe he's got his sights set higher now. But yeah, Charles Oliveira is a great fighter. And again, not really sure why the UFC booked this trilogy fight. We already saw Charles Oliveira dominate Nick Lentz a couple times. Kind of weird matchmaking there, but Either way, he got the win again. And then opening up the main card, arguably the worst fight in the card in many ways, Davey Ramos against Austin Hubbard. Not a great fight. Davey Ramos got the win by decision. Not a great performance by him or by Hubbard, to be quite frank. Again, I'm not really sure the matchmaking here. You kind of destroyed a prospect's rise in Hubbard. He was on a nice win streak, comes in there against a guy like Ramos, who's on a nice win streak himself. Weird matchmaking here. Ramos got the win, but he didn't look impressive. So it just hurt the stock of both guys. I didn't understand the matchmaking. Ramos will obviously get a nice opponent in his next fight. I think he's on like a 4-5 win streak now. But, you know, this is a fight you probably should have finished because Hubbard really didn't have anything for him. And for Hubbard, yeah, you know, he took the fight to get in the UFC, but he's got to show more in his next fight to stick around. Prelims, fight of the night, surprising, I guess, a little bit. It was a good fight. Don't get me wrong. It was a really good fight against Aspen Ladd and Sajara Eubanks. Ladd won a unanimous decision. Very surprising scorecard, actually. 30-26, 29-27, 29-28. I scored 29-28 for Ladd. The other guys at Sherdog had 29-28 for Eubanks. I thought you could have went 29-20 either way. I'd have to watch the fight back. A lot of people thought that second round was a 10-8. Maybe it was. No argument there. I think the right girl won the fight and Ladd, but it was a closer fight, I think, than the scorecards indicated. It was a great fight, though, back and forth. They both had their moments in this fight. But again, when you have 9 finishes, I don't know if this should have been won the fight of the night. I think you should have given one to Spencer and maybe someone like Ed Herman earlier on in the card. We'll talk about in a second for those 50K bonuses instead. But this is the problem when you only give away 4 bonuses and you have 9 finishes. And then there's cards where there's like 2 finishes and those guys are guaranteed money. It's just they got to, I don't know. You know me, guys. I've been saying they need finishing bonus in the UFC for years. Even an extra 10K for these fighters would help a lot. So it is what it is. But anyways, as far as this fight goes, it was a great win for Ladd. She's undefeated still. She's, what is she, 8-0 now, I believe? 8-0, yep. 3-0 in the UFC. She needs a top 5 opponent. I mean, she's almost near a title shot at this point. Eubanks, I think a decent debut for bantamweight debut. A little small for the division. Maybe she can make that flyweight weight cut. I don't know. Maybe go to the PI, see if they can get her down to 125 because I think she's more competitive there. But either way, a decent showing for her, even in the loss. Next up, a lightweight bout between Desmond Green and Charles Jourdain. Green won the decision. 3-27, 3-27, 29-28. I think no surprises there. Green, the hometown boy, Rochester, the crowd behind him the whole time. You know, Jourdain, good for him to be able to make it the 3 rounds against a guy he was a massive underdog against. But, you know, he really didn't even win a round. Maybe the last round, some people thought he won. But I thought Green pretty much controlled the whole fight. Good for Green. Would have been nice to see him get a finish. But, you know, the fact that he won another fight is good for him. The guy's clearly a decent. Not sure who he fights next, but. Maybe they could do Ramos for Green. I don't know if they want to halt Ramos' uprise, but that fight makes some sense, and they're both on the same timetable, so maybe they do that kind of fight. For Jourdain, he'll get another fight. He's a good fighter, maybe at 145 this time. Who knows? Next up, you had Michelle Pereira against Danny Roberts. Knocked him out in the first round of the flying knee and punch and won a $50,000 bonus. No doubt about it, this guy is a talent. Just a wild man in the cage. Now, I did pick Roberts to win this fight, but I'm not surprised Pereira won, especially after watching his tape from his previous fights, I believe in Road. This guy's nuts, man. I mean, the stuff he does off the cage, the spinning attacks, the Superman punches off the cage, and then the way he won this fight with a flying knee and a straight right. I mean, that's so impressive to me. Wow. I mean, this was an amazing debut for him. Plus 210 underdog. He won as a big dog. And the prop on him winning in the first round, plus 850 as well, inside the distance, plus 435 TKO, plus 475. So no one really saw that coming, the way he won the fight, but the guy's clearly good. You know, he was 1-1 in his last 2 fights heading into the UFC, and they signed him. And even me, I was like, that's kind of a strange signing because usually the guy has on a nice win streak. But UFC matchmakers made a good signing here. This guy has a lot of talent. He's a fun fighter to watch. Very excited to see what's next for him. And for Danny Roberts, yikes. I mean, that's another loss. And 5-4 in the UFC. 4 times the loss he's been finished. So I like him. He's a good fighter. I think he's had some tough matches in his career, but you know, he needs to win his next fight. I think they'll keep him around because he's exciting, but he needs to win his next fight. Next up, you had another performance of the night winning bonus. Grant Dawson submits Michael Trezano in the second round with the rear naked choke. Great performance by Dawson. Again, though, I'm a little surprised this one performance of the night bonus. I would give it to Spencer because, yeah, don't get me wrong, Dawson won the fight. He looked good. He was a dog. I believe a small dog anyways. What was the odds on him? Grant Dawson. Actually, no, he didn't. He wasn't a dog at the end. Well, you know, I think the whole fight week he was, so that's a little surprising that the line eventually did flip. I'm just taking a look what it closed at. Grant Dawson -165. So all week he was an underdog, and then it flipped in the last second. I did pick Dawson, so that makes sense to me. But just getting back to the fight itself, I mean, he was getting picked apart with that jab, Trezano, and took him down and submitted him. It was a great finish, but I don't know. How do you not give Spencer a bonus when she dominated a fight for bell to bell, and you give a guy who's getting beat up a bonus? I don't know. I'm not sure how they decided these ones. Don't get me wrong, great win for him. And at featherweight, he looks like a really good prospect, but a little confused by that one. And I'm a little confused why Ed Herman didn't get a bonus for knocking out Patrick Cummins. Massive underdog, +220 underdog. No one saw this coming. Actually, I did pick Ed Herman to win. I did pick him. I knocked him, but very few saw him coming. You know, the card where I did just, I would say, slightly above average of my picks, this was by far the best pick I made in the card. For me, Patrick Cummins' chain is just not good enough fighting that light heavyweight division against these big bombers. Even a guy like Ed Herman, he does have some knockout power once in a while. Like, this reminded me of that Tim Boach fight a couple years ago, where he knocked out the knee and punches. So, great win for Ed Herman. He's an older guy, but he's been around forever. He's been around the UFC since 2006. Wow, that's incredible. So 13 years in the organization. The guy keeps winning somehow. And after the fight, he called out the video game makers. He says he wants to be in the game. His son wants to play as him. Put him in the game. This guy's been around forever. He's a great fighter. By all accounts, a great guy, too. I mean, my old friend, Carlin Bardsley, he used to interview him all the time back in the day. He said nothing but great things about Ed Herman. So I personally haven't interviewed Ed before, but you know, it's crazy, right? He's one of those guys. He's like Bisping in the same season where he was such a heel the whole season. And then all of a sudden, all these years later, he's a baby face again. So good for Ed Herman. Love this guy. And for Pat Cummins, 3 straight losses. I think that's probably the end of the road for him. You know, this guy had a great story coming to the UFC as a Starbucks. I think he works in the drive-thru at Starbucks, serving your coffee in the morning, and then eventually made it to the UFC. And he ended up at 6-7 record knocked on. That's not good enough. He's going to be cut, I think. It's unfortunate, but, you know, the division needs to move on, I think, for him. And then the first two fights of the night were both insane finishes. So you had Zach Cummings knocking out Trevin Giles. He was an underdog. He submitted him in the third round. Knocked him down with the big right hand, left hand. He actually took a punch from Trevin Giles and then threw his own punch, ate the punch, threw his own punch, and then took him down, submitted him with a guillotine choke. So that was super impressive by Zach Cummings. Again, another underdog that won. He was +170. So good for Zach Cummings. And then the props on him winning. First off, the prop on him winning in the third round was +1775. So that was the biggest prop on the whole card to cash. Also, +475 inside the distance, +615 by submission. My co-host last week, Cole Shelton, picked Zach Cummings. I thought Trevin Giles was going to win this fight. He didn't look good in this fight. He had a long layoff. I should have taken that into account a little bit more. But I think this was probably the best performance Zach Cummings has ever had in the octagon. So great win by him. And again, you know, maybe a bonus award was in play here. I'm a little surprised he wasn't more considered because this was a great finish. And the same thing in the first fight of the night, Julio Arce against Julian Arosa. Head kick knockout in the third round. What a brutal head kick. Great win by Julio Arce. He was a big favorite, so I can see why he didn't win a bonus. I think everyone thought he'd win the fight. I think he was like -800 at close or something. So not surprising, I guess, he didn't win a bonus because he was supposed to win. But still, the props on him winning were crazy. +310 by knockout, which was cool. But then the +1050 in the third round. So not many people saw him winning the fight late. Overall, like I said, guys, I think this was an amazing card. One of the best cards of the year. I was super impressed by it. Yeah, I think the fighters put on such good performances. It's just one of those cards, again, where it'd be nice to see if more bonus was money was allocated. Or even, like, you know, they can just be generous sometimes and say, hey, you know, here's 10K for these guys in the locker room. I don't know if they do that anymore. Back in the day, they used to give these guys locker room bonuses if they had good performances and didn't win the bonus. I'm not sure if they do that under the new ownership. And I think there's a lot of guys in this car like Herman Cummings that really deserve that stuff. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of fighter pay. At the end of the day, they fight because, you know, it's their job, and they know that they might not win a bonus, but it'd be nice to see the UFC reward guys for great performances, because I think when you do reward fighters financially for great performances, they're more likely to have more great performances. So that's about it for that card. Not too much other news to talk about. The UFC did announce a card in China, so they'll be heading to China in late August. I actually wrote an article over today at djpenn.com just talking a little bit about that card. No fights announced yet. You'd expect Weili Zhang to be on the card. Li Jingliang, a couple other guys like Song Yadong, Wuliji Burr, and a couple other Chinese fighters like that. So that's great that they're going to China again, third straight year. It shows that the UFC definitely, you know, they're making a big splash in China right now. They're opening a PI next month in China. So that's a big market for them. And I'm curious to see what the main event for that card is. The last couple have been Bisping and Gastelum and Nagano and Blade. So it probably will be some foreigners as the main event, but either way, I think it's going to be a good card. And that's pretty much it, guys. There's not too much else that happened over the weekend. Oh, Rashad Evans, I should say this quickly. Rashad Evans was inducted in the Hall of Fame. That's something to say quickly. Congrats to Rashad. Well-deserved. I had heard there would be another person being inducted alongside Rich Franklin and Michael Bisping into the Hall of Fame. I wasn't told who it was because that stuff's under embargo, and anyone who says that will be in trouble. So I didn't hear who it was, but I knew there was going to be someone else, and I think Rashad is a great choice, and he's from nearby. I think he's from Albany or Niagara Falls or something, so close by Rochester. So it made sense to introduce him here. And I will say this. I don't know what fight's going to be. From what I heard, there's going to be another fight inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. So I don't know what fight. I'm hoping John Jones versus Gustafson. To me, that's the greatest fight ever. They put Shogun and Dan Henderson in it when they were active fighters, so there's no reason they can't do Jones and Gus. But if not, there's definitely some fights from the early days of the UFC that deserve to be in there. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what that is. But yes, I would say in the next card or two, they will announce that next fight. So I think that's about it, guys. I'm going to end the show right now. Again, thanks for joining me. I'm on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. You can find the show at MMAoddsbreaker.com. It's on our YouTube channel. I'm going to find a way to put it on iTunes soon. Also check me out at SureDog.com, MMARatings.net, MMANews.com, and BJPenn.com for all your latest news and updates. And once again, guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate the support. You know, I'm going to try doing this Monday to Friday. Quick show just talking about the news and stuff like that. And I will do another show for like previews and hopefully a mailbag type episode. Like for a week like this where there's no card, I'll try to do that kind of thing. So keep a look on Twitter if you have questions. I'll throw that out there. But yeah, thanks again for joining me, guys. And once again, follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. Have a great day.